The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Whether you're here in person or in the sanctuary or online via Zoom, we welcome you today. My name is Ann Rostosky, and I am the Vice President of the Board, and I am today's Worship Associate. And we're fortunate to have our new minister, Andrew Weber, with us today. So whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, thank you for being with us today. We're going to start with the chalice lighting, and Corinne McNeil is going to help me with that. So Corinne, please come up. And the title of the chalice lighting is Open to Unexpected Answers. That has a deep meaning today, because you see that you have pieces of paper on your chairs, and they are for you to write questions for Reverend Weber. And we, during the beginning of the service, as you're paying attention, try to think about what questions you might have for Reverend Andrew. And then at a certain point, Corinne and Ryan will help collect those questions, and we will present them to Reverend Weber for later in the service. So these are words by Julianne Lepp. We seek our place in the world and the answers to our hearts' deep questions. As we seek, may our hearts be open to unexpected answers. May the light of our chalice remind us that this is a community of warmth, of wisdom, and welcoming of multiple truths. So Corinne will now light the chalice. There it goes. And now we will light the peace lamp. Please follow by reading the response you see up there. May peace be with us. Okay, and now Reverend Andrew.
Thanks, Ann. That's great. You can go sit down. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It has high standards, and the world needs vision. Bring them all with you, and your joy. And your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your power to heal. There is work to do. And you have all that you need to do it right here in this room. Come, let us do this work together. The work of learning how to be better people, the work of learning to live with our pain, to live with our triumph. The reason we come together is to share our broken hearts, to share our anger, to share our ability to heal, to share our hope, to share our faith. Come, let us worship together. I'm Reverend Andrew, honored to serve Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship as Minister of Ministers. A minister among ministers, each one of us inspiring each other, challenging each other to be our best selves, to be inspired, to search for our own on our faith journey. We are a welcoming and nurturing community dedicated to inspiring spiritual growth and fellowship for adults and children, caring for our environment, promoting social justice and equality in the larger community. Please join with me now in singing, a hymn which speaks to the multitude of our lives and the benefit of being in community. You may rise in body or in spirit and join with We Laugh, We Cry.
Thank you.
Now we have a story. Now we do. If any of the children would like to come up here, and then they can see the pictures better probably, but it's up to you, don't feel like you have to. And the story is called, What Do You Do With an Idea? Reverend Andrew is modeling here. He's very well fit. He does CrossFit training. Okay, so the book today is called What Do You Do With an Idea? And the author is Kobe Yamada and illustrated by Mae Bessem. In this book, I'll describe it for those of you who can't see the pictures. The idea looks like a golden egg with a crown on it. So maybe there's some significance to that, okay? One day I had an idea. Where did it come from? Why is it here? I wondered, what do you do with an idea? So there's the child with the idea there. At first, I didn't think much of it. It seemed kind of strange and fragile. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just walked away from it. I acted like it didn't belong to me. I've done that with my husband before. I don't know you. There's the child with the egg way over on the other side. But it followed me. My husband does that too. I wondered what others would think. What would people say about my idea? I kind of kept it to myself. I hid it away and didn't talk about it. I tried to act like everything was the same as it was before my idea showed up. But there was something magical about my idea. I had to admit, I felt better and happier when it was around. Here's a big picture you might be able to see. That's what the idea looks like. It wanted food. It wanted to play. Actually, it wanted a lot of attention. It grew bigger, and we became friends. I showed it to other people, even though I was afraid of what they might say. I was afraid that if people saw it, they would laugh at it. I was afraid they would think it was silly, and many of them did. They said it was no good. They said it was too weird. They said it was a waste of time and that it would never become anything. Here's the idea among all the people. And at first, I believed them. I actually thought about giving up on my idea. I almost listened to them. But then I realized, what do they really know? This is my idea, I thought. No one knows it like I do, and it's okay if it's different and weird and maybe a little crazy. I decided to protect it, to care for it. I fed it good food. I worked with it, I played with it, but most of all, I gave it my attention. My idea grew and grew, and so did my love for it. I built it a new house, one with an open roof where it could look up at the stars, a place where it could be safe to dream. I liked being with my idea. It made me feel more alive, like I could do anything. It encouraged me to think big and then to think bigger. It shared my secrets with me. I'm sorry, its secrets with me. It showed me how to walk on my hands because it said it is good to have the ability to see things differently from a different point of view. I couldn't imagine my life without it. There he is spending time with the idea. He or she, I'm not sure. This is a good picture. I'm going to have to show you this one. Then, one day, something amazing happened. My idea changed right before my eyes. It spread its wings, took flight, and burst into the sky. I don't know how to describe it, but it went from being here to being everywhere. It wasn't just a part of me anymore. It was now a part of everything. And then I realized what you do with an idea. You change the world. So may all of us go out and change the world with our ideas.
Thank you, Anne. No, you're fine. I don't know what I mean. Thank you, Anne. If any of you who did not come up to see the pictures want to see the pictures, that's everyone except three of us. This will be around after the service, and also you can look on YouTube. There's a great reading of this where they show all the pictures really nice and large. It's one of those stories that really comes alive with those pictures too. So what do you do with an idea? You change the world, right? That's what we just heard, you change the world. And sometimes, well, maybe most of the times, the ideas start just as in this book. They're a little weird. They're a little scary. There's some excitement. There's some unknown. That's a lot of the unknown. There's something exciting, something scary, something weird. We don't know what to do with it. Maybe we ignore it for a little. And the reason that we read this book together is that's what a lot of being together in community is like. We have ideas. We have thoughts about what this community could be. Where we might fit in, what we would love to see happen, which can be weird, which can be scary, which can be exciting. There can be lots of unknown. And so today we're going to lean into that confusion. Today we're going to lean into the ideas, and we're going to lean into the questioning that are churning in our mind. Because my idea and my excitement and my also being scared for this gathering is that we do spiritual work together. We do it together. We're all in this together. And as such, I didn't write a sermon today. I mean, I wrote some of these words, but I didn't write a sermon. The message will instead be reflecting on and responding to your questions, which I hope you've already written or are writing. If you don't have a note card, there's some up here. And if you don't have a pencil, just raise your hand. Ryan did make sure everyone had one, but if you lost it, raise your hand and we'll get you another one. And if you're online, you can just write something in the chat and I will trust those guys in the back to write it down for me so I have something physical. Thank you in advance. Any question about life, about death, about house construction, parenting? Although questions surrounding ministry and this church are encouraged. And after we got up all your questions, I'm going to take some time and respond to them, as I can do right here. And if you need help writing or if you need assistance, then just turn to someone next to you. We are gonna sing now. And so we're going to sing for all that is our life. And as we sing, you may rise in body or in spirit. And as we sing, Ryan and Corinne are going to go around and pick up your questions and give them to me. So let's sing and give questions.
For all life is and make our own days glad. For needs which others serve, for services we give, for work and its rewards, for hours of rest and love, we come with praise and thanks. For all that is our life, for sorrow we must bear, for failures, pain, and loss, for each new thing we learn, for fearful hours that pass, we come with praise and thanks. For all that is our life, for all that is our life, we sing our thanks and praise. For all life is a gift, which we are called to use, to build the common good and make our own days glad.
Religious exploration, spiritual growth and development, lifespan. There are all sorts of different names that different congregations use for this. And this is a very well-known reading that I found very useful actually in my youth. When I was in the youth group, thank you very much, I wrote this on a big poster for my fellow youth. But also for all of spiritual growth, I feel like this is it, not just for what we do with our youth. And thank you, Anne, for leading this while I do something else.
Okay, the title is The Great End in Religious Instruction. And this was actually from William Ellery Channing. And I did want to mention that the prior hymn was sung by Christine Perry. I don't know if you recognized her voice or not. She's not here in person, but it was a recording of her. So thanks, Christine. I figure you would. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs.
Not to bind them by ineradicable prejudices to our particular sect or particular notions.
But to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be offered to their decision.
Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish spiritual life. I don't know if Reverend Andrew is ready to start answering questions, but he had a few minutes.
I had some minutes. This is. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some of these I put in sort of. Yes, actually, there's some really, really good stuff. Some of it will be in a somewhat logical order because I've had time to put them in, and others will just be like, as I pick them up. Such is life. Exactly. Such is life. I believe in shared ministry, where we all take part in this work, whatever this work is, which is odd, right? It's odd because I'm a professionally trained minister, right? I mean, aren't I supposed to be doing the work here? That's why you hired me. And isn't it like going to medical, someone going to medical school, and then, oh, can you hold the scalpel for me? You got this. But it's sort of like that, but it's different. It's different because ministry is more guiding, more a therapeutic calling. And at its heart, it's relational. So I'm a guide. I'm here to walk with others, not to be the leader. And all of that being said, let's get to some of these questions where you challenge and you guide me also. And remember that in Unitarian Universalism, we all come from our own beliefs and our own systems. So I'm not answering questions as much as responding to them. And know that what I respond may be what you appreciate, may be what resonates with you, and maybe something that you're like, oh gosh, that is not what I think. And that's okay. Let's chat. Because I want to start actually with a question I had for myself. Thanks, yeah, Mr. Hunter. I mean, it's a question I had because I've been asked this already in person, is how do you address me? Anne has gone back and forth this morning. Thank you for modeling that unknowingly. And you may address, Andrew is fine. Reverend Andrew, if that feels more comfortable. If you really need to, you can do Reverend Weber, but that's more for like formal occasions, but like just Andrew, that's fine. That was an easy one. I mean, I wrote that for myself, so. And then always start off with, and then how to get in touch with me also is a great question is minister@tpuff.org is my email. You can email me. My email address, signature also has my cell phone. I'm not going to say it right now because you're scribbling or on Zoom. I think it will be on the website. If not, it's on the new brochure that Phil is making. You can text, call. Usually the best is to text or to email. I am of that generation where that's the easier for me to respond to you. And I'm generally here the Sundays I'm preaching. I try to be around more. And then Thursdays, usually around. But it's best to text or email first. Hi. Why do trees have bark? I was in the back there. You know what? That's a really good question. I think, I'm a minister, everything is theological. It's for protection, right? And we all have our skin to protect us just the same way, right? So we don't want just anything coming in because that's what the skin, it helps keep those germs away. And also we have this a spiritual skin. And the question is, how thick do we make our bark? How thick do we make our skin? Do we let others in where we could get hurt? Or do we keep it so tight that we're not in community with each other? So thanks about the bark. Am I available for one-on-one reasons? Membership, absolutely. Yes, I'm available for one-on-one. I'd love to meet with you, chat, have coffee, have lunch. Reach out. What do I like to do in my free time? I like to run. I really like running. I like hanging out with my kids. You've seen them occasionally. But running is like what calms me. It also gets me sort of invigorated. Anne asked me if I did coffee. I was like, I don't do coffee. I just get up and I just go. Although the evening meetings, are it's tougher. What recent scientific discovery did you find spoke to me spiritually? I don't know how recent the Higgs boson, and I could be saying that the wrong way, but the sort of interconnectedness of the fact, not just like, this is a fact, that the cells in one thing or the cells in one person are connected across time, across space, and we have no idea how, but that there's this interrelation, and I think I'm a theologian, I'm not a scientist, but there's this connection that we cannot explain, but it exists. So you change something here, and something over there changes faster than light could go, so it's not a message, like, yeah, it's the quantum physics. Yeah, what is happening? I don't know what's happening there. Is that God? Is that, yeah, quantum entanglement. It's like, what is this? I have no idea. What music, artist, authors do you find inspiration in? Also, if any of these, if you're like, I wanted to hear more about that, or you didn't get to my question, reach out to me, because I want to be mindful of time, but also talk to this. Music, I really like opera, and I really like techno and electronic. Which is, I know, those are disparate, but something about the emotion is so much that speaking is not enough. That speaking it is not enough, that you must come out. If anyone has seen The Fifth Element, it's a sci-fi movie a couple number of years ago, there's an aria in there where they sort of mash the two. It's oh, that right there. It's like they're singing opera and then they go into this electronic. I'm like, oh, that's right there. That's great. And books, I really like realistic fiction. Something that Ken Follett has spoken to me a lot just in his telling of stories and my connecting with the characters. Really enjoy that. Pro-life or pro-choice? That's a good one. My wife works at Planned Parenthood, so there's an answer I must give. But also, I would take both of these labels as my own. I am absolutely for life. But I'm absolutely for a woman's and anyone's right to choose what happens with their body. I don't get to say what happens with your body. And you, right? But I am still very, very pro-life. I think life is God, as I was talking about last week. And so it's talking about the intersection of these two. There could be a whole service about labels, about what labels mean, and about how we can be pro-choice, pro-life, how we can talk with people who are maybe say they are pro-life, which means they're against what we are for, but they're not anti-choice, right? We're not anti, and I'm not anti-life, I'm not, so that's, I'm going quick here. How do you move on from someone hurting you? I know that it's helpful to me to hold on to it, but how do you let it go? I tried to start with the easier ones. That's really hard. I mean, that's really hard. I have someone I knew years ago. We're not in contact. He hurt me very, very deeply. Does he know? He might not even know. And so what do you do with that? I was actually talking with Linda yesterday. We're talking about this and saying, when you're angry with someone, there's a saying that says it's like picking up a hot coal or feces to throw it at someone. I'm the one holding that coal or that feces, right? I'm the one holding on to that anger and that hurt and that pain. How do you let it go? I mean, it's not easy. Talk to your friends. Talk to a therapist. Talk to someone professionally who can help you work through this. If you can get to that point, talk to that person who hurt you. Let them know. Because if you never say, "You hurt me," they can never say, "Oh, I didn't know," or "I do know, and I'm sorry." Or you can get to a point where it just, you don't move forward with them. What do we do to manage the polarization around us? There is polarization in the country, in society. And what do we do? I think we need to find common ground. And that's, it's easy to say, but that's the hard thing. That's the hard, hard task. That's easy to say, but so difficult. So pro-life or pro-choice, I think the ideal is finding a common ground. I would say I want less abortions. As an example, I want less abortions. I'm pro-choice politically. I want less abortions. The person who's pro-life, I say, I am pro-life politically. I want less abortions. Okay, so we agree on that. So where can we move from there? Sometimes it's not as easy. That's not an easy common ground, but sometimes it's even harder to say, where do we stand together on something, on anything? And then from that common ground, to say, oh, yes, you're a human too. I'm a human. We're in this together. We're all in this together, and we can find some common ground and maybe get past that polarization. What do you do when someone is rude to you several times and didn't answer back, and you didn't answer back rudely, but you feel angry? Similar to what I said before, it's really holding on to your own ideals, trying not to respond in kind. An example from my children is, of course, children sometimes react back. They're not the kindest. Sometimes adults do too. And the key, I think, is that they still know that you love them. Now this is hard with all people, but when my child is screaming or yelling, and I say, you cannot do this, or you must stop, or and they don't want to hug, they don't want to talk to me, if they still know that I care for them, I say, this has to end. You have to go in timeout, or we can't have this conversation right now, but they still know that I care for them. If there's some way to get there with someone who's being rude, to say, look, if you can say that, I care for you, I hope you do well, but I cannot continue this. It's not easy. Have you used the UU principle or principles in the face of adversity? Oh, yeah. I hope that my Unitarian Universalist principles come through everything that I do and say. I hope that. In adversity, I think coming over hardship, it's useful for me to think about being with other people, connecting with other people, and making a difference in the world. So that's that one. How do you make peace in an angry world? Oh, man. We may have to take a break in the middle, do a little meditative music. How do you make peace in an angry world? I think it's similar. It's similar that you start here. There's a Lao Tzu writing. It says, for there to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. For there to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the communities. And I'm misquoting it here, but there must be peace in the family. It's keep getting smaller and smaller and ending with, there must be peace in the heart. So you have to start here. We have to start here. And then from there, moving to one-on-one, finding common ground, talking with people. What is a member's commitment to Unitarian Universalists and to our church? And what's my view of commitment to membership? I think signing membership, and I also tried to go personal to congregational. You'll see a little bit of that. Signing on for membership means that you're willing to be part of community, that you're willing to say, I am me, this is what I believe and what I stand for, but I'm also going to hear and listen and work with other people. Sometimes there's a financial commitment, and I know we're easier in this faith community. We can talk about sex, we can talk about religion, we can talk about all sorts of things, but money? Don't you talk about money? But there's a commitment. So when you sign as a member, when you're like, I want to be a member, I want to join this, I like what's happening, I want to be part of that, there's a commitment too. Financial or, actually we were just looking at the bylaws, so this is why I know it. I like bylaws, but not that much. But it says a financial or a commitment in kind, a service in kind. Some way that it's not just signing the book. Yes, it's signing, but it's saying, I want to be part of it, and then actually being part of the community. So that's membership. Does liberal religion include freedom of concourse? Correct me if I'm wrong or if you want to later. Does liberal religion mean we have freedom of sort of all beliefs, or are there some beliefs that we do not include? That's what I'm reading in this. Sorry about not getting the handwriting perfect. And I would say that no. There are some places where we say we have to stop. We can't have that. And that would be when beliefs are dangerous, are hurtful, are divisive, are dangerous for our community, for each other. I served a congregation where there was a man who was a longtime visitor. He was a great friend, never signed the membership book, which is okay. That's not the point. But the point was that he did not treat people respectfully. He helped out around the building. He did all sorts of things. It was wonderful, but he did not treat people respectfully. And I met with him and I said, look, this has to change. And it happened again. And I met with him and said, this has to change. And then the congregation, on the third time, I said, the congregation has to step in. And they said, look, we're open to all beliefs, but we have to act with respect, and you can no longer be part of our community. And it was really, really hard. But that's what had to be done to show our sort of love of accountability for him and our love of safety for everyone. What is the place for politics in a house of worship? I don't want to risk our tax-exempt status. So that's some churches, especially big and especially conservative, will say, I don't want to be tax-exempt so that they can promote a certain political party, which is neat, I think, because they're living their values. And I love that, even if it's not my values. For what I would say, politics in a place of worship is saying, you take your values, whatever your values are, shared or personal, take them and vote them. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I want you to go when you're voting, national, local, going in and saying, okay, who's going to be on the school board? Well, I believe in this, 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 and this. Okay, does that person align with my beliefs? Does this person? That's where I think it has a place. Is you better? Separation of church and state, yes, but not personally. You go in with your faith, I hope. And I hope people, some politicians, I don't see it. But I hope if you profess a faith that you're living it out and not just living out the political party, but you're professing love. Do I see that in the politics? Oh. Yeah, I could do I'll do a sermon series, one on each one of these cards. What do you think is the most important task for the fellowship at this point in its life? Whew. I mean, that one. Can I give that to the board? Can I hand that up to the... I think the most important, I think at any time, whether it's a growing, a shrinking, a stagnant with membership, or a vibrant or a sort of lazy congregation, whatever you want to name where we are, where other congregations are, is doing church well. If you do, like, doing church well, whatever that might mean, it means what are your values, what's your mission, and live it. Because then people are going to see, they're going to drive by, they're like, whoa, they're doing something. They're going to see us out doing something. They're going to come in Sunday morning, like, okay, I want to be part of this. And if it's unfocused, if there's like, oh yeah, we're a sort of social club, and it's like, then that's how we're going to be treated, and that's what's going to happen. But if we do church well. Of course, yes, I'm a minister. That's a nebulous. Okay, well, what does that mean for, like, what do we do? That's my answer. Do church well. People will come. How do we do better at disagreeing without being disagreeable? Always come back to love. Always come back to love and care. Saying, I disagree with you, but I want to hear what you have to say. I had that last week, which was wonderful. Said, I don't agree with what you said. I'm like, that's wonderful. Talk to me about it. Because I don't want you to just say, yeah, Andrew, that's good. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, no. That's not the religion that we have. We have the religion where you say, Andrew, that question that you answered, I don't get it. It's like, great, let's sit down and talk about it. That's how you do it, is you actually listen rather than saying, oh, we disagree, we're done. These weren't in any order yet, so. How old were you when you first questioned or disbelieved the reality of Santa? And why? So here's what we do in our house. We talk about Santa, and people say, what is Santa? And we say, look, you know what, Micah, Grace? Santa is all of us. That's how we talk about it. It's like we're saying Santa is all of us. Is Santa real? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you want to help be Santa right now? Let's get gifts and give it to someone. Let's promote love. That's what we do in our house. And that's, I don't know when I came to that understanding, probably in my 30s or 40s, but... That's what we talk about. Yeah, what? Do you want to add something? So Corinne was saying different beliefs about Santa. So Corinne wants to talk about different beliefs in Santa. And you know what? We don't all believe the same thing. And that's okay. So you can have one belief and someone can have a different belief, and that's all right. And Santa, in our house, we all embody Santa. What does it mean to you to eat like a minister? Why do religions have so many and so different dietary rules? I have preached about this, and I probably will again. I do not eat animal products, and I do that because of my values. I don't believe that the way that the United States in general raises our livestock is sustainable, is loving, is caring of the earth, is caring of other people. The environmental and the economic cost for me is too much. And this is not the answer for everyone. This is what I have found works for me. If I lived on a farm and I could have my own chickens and slaughter them, the question would be different. I might eat those chickens or those eggs laid by the chickens. But for right now, I do not eat any animal products. And I think what I would challenge everyone, and this is what I come back to all the time, it's like, what do you believe? Okay, now how do you live that? How do you live that when you eat? When you eat, when I get a fruit that's out of season, am I living my values? It's like, oh, that was a lot of environmental economic impact to get this banana from wherever it came from when it's February in Delaware. Okay. Yeah, think about that. Like, am I living my values? That's tough. And then why are there so many religions that have dietary restrictions, dietary rules? This is a good one, and I like this. I really get excited because I think there's identity, there's safety, there's cultural norms. So a lot of we were talking about this, about the kosher laws and the kosher rules. If you look in the Old Testament, if you look in the Torah about what you can and cannot eat, what you can and cannot mix with your clothing, with your food, some of it was safety. We think, looking back, that maybe they thought this animal was unclean. You don't eat carrion. Well, that's a bird that comes down and eats dead things that have been dead and rotting. Well, I don't want to eat that. So that's more around a safety and a health issue. And somewhere around identity. So saying we don't eat this because that's what our culture does. And if you want to be part of us, if you want to join in, that's what we don't eat that. And there's a sense of identity. And also I was told that some of it was even about geographic identity. Well, if you need a kosher butcher who's going to bless it, then you can only move so far away from the rabbi and the butcher. And so it keeps you together. So some of it is just keeping people together. How and where do I learn to participate in SM, small group ministry? SM. The other SM is also a yes. I don't think we do that at the fellowship. But if it's small group ministry, yeah, we can talk about sex. We can talk about it, but I think in consenting adults, privacy of your own home. But I think SM is small group ministry. If it's not, let me know, and we can talk about that too. Shelly, are you the person? Sherry. Oh, yeah, of course. Sherry, I think, would be the person to talk to if it's small group ministry, and she's right there. And if you have something other on your mind, shared ministry? Oh, it could be shared ministry too. Yeah. Small group ministry, right there. Shared ministry, you can talk to me. You can talk to people who do different aspects in the congregation. If you're like, I want to be part of worship, worship chair. I want to be part of membership. We can put you where you want to be. How do you forgive? I mean, you take your time. You sit with it. You think about, for me, I think about, how would it look if I forgave? How would it look if I didn't forgive? What's the difference in the world? What's the difference in my relationship with the person or people I'm forgiving? And what difference does it make? Usually it's with me. It's like, it's that anger. It's holding on to something. It's like, I'm going to throw this at you and my hand is burning or covered in feces. And letting go is easy to say, oh, just let go. It's like, wow. It's taking that time and doing that work. And the last one is just a note. As one of eight children, my parents raised us with the saying, you have two hands, one to help yourself and one to help others. That is how I live my life. That's a good one. Anything we missed? We ran the gamut there. Thank you for being open to such an odd service. I find it exciting and interesting. And if there's anything you're like, I wanted to hear more about, or I did not like what you said, reach out to me. minister@tpuff.org, down the hall. You can text me or call me. I'm going to take a breath and let's have a musical meditation. As we said in the opening words, we come with our whole selves, with the joy, the pain that overflows into this community. So now I'll hand it over to our tech gurus to guide us through matters of the heart. And when we sing the meditative hymn, Spirit of Life, we can stay seated. And then I'll do a little prayer after that.
And then we will have a brief musical interlude here so people have a time to gather their thoughts and consider whether there's anything they would like to share. So we will bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. The video and words will appear here on the screen in a moment. And as Andrew said, please feel free to keep your butt in your seat.
And then to take in another is on the edge and risk jumping in, risk taking action, risk speaking up, risk using the gifts we have been given. To begin to operate in the present, full of love and light today. These and the prayers of our hearts we lift up now and we hold together. Amen. Please join now in singing Make Channels for the Streams of Love, our closing song, and please rise in body or in spirit.
help me extinguish the chalice. The work we share, by Krista Tavis. It is our work, shared with each other in covenant, that creates and sustains this beloved community. We extinguish this chalice, but its light lives on in the directions we have chosen today. The light of this faith lives on in us, together in our hearts, minds, bodies, and spirits. Amen and blessed be.
In your life, may you know the holy meaning, the mystery that breaks into it every moment. May you live at peace with your world and at peace with yourself. And may the love of truth guide you in your every day. Amen and blessed be.